Welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train Jarrett Freed coming live from the West Village of Manhattan. That's right. Every Monday, we read your emails, we hear your stories, we give you some advice, some perspective, and I want to thank you. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you for sending your emails, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. You know, it's interesting what's going on right now. We have the J Train on Mondays, the Luxury Lounge on Thursdays. I'm getting so many Luxury Lounge emails. We can consider it a hit. People are into the Luxury Lounge, but I need more dating and advice emails too. We got to make sure we keep up. I got to keep this influx. I have enough, but I just want to make sure I keep people on their game. You got dating issues. You got lifestyle problems. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. And keep telling your friends. It is the time of year for J Train. Right now, it is that pre-cuffing season. There's a lot. We're post-ish pandemic for some. Some of you didn't even have a pandemic. We're all over the board. And here's where we come in. Where this podcast comes in is at that meeting of lifestyle and vagueness. You know, of things changing, seasons changing, technology changing, a pandemic changing, a Delta variant out there somewhere. This is where this podcast comes in, because you go, well, I've been through this, but not through this in this way or under these conditions. And that's where my guests and I, we come in and we joke around and we have fun with the topic and we talk it out so you don't have to. You get to put your brain on the shelf. So there's someone in your life, there's a group chat in your life that this podcast should be sent to, and I'd love for you to do that now. Or make it your Instagram story. I'm putting up videos on Instagram. Play with the Instagram videos. That's just a touch. Just give me a touch, a like, a tag, a watch. Like, these are all considered forms of payment. Also, the sponsors. We have sponsors on every episode. And this is the time of year, you know, we get a lot of sponsors. And this podcast is kind of built for a sponsorship, because every email is kind of at the end of every email, you could put a bookmark and come back to it. So we get a lot of podcast sponsorship. And I don't know if they can help you. But if they can, they're giving you free money. And it's an opportunity for you to help yourself and a podcast that you love. So if there's something here that can help you out, I love hearing that, and I want you to support the sponsors, because that supports this show. I got live shows all over this great nation, people. And we're adding live shows every day, and that's because of you. Because of you, the listeners. You're truly unbelievable. I got New Brunswick, New Jersey, Perrysburg, Ohio, which is near Toledo, Buffalo, New York, Syracuse, New York, and also the Live You Up podcast at Town Hall. Tickets are still available. The Live You Up podcast, if you're a J Train fan, a lot of you have come over from You Up or whatever, vice versa. This is an event. I'm in the audition room every day working on the dance moves. I've got the feather boas have been purchased. So get that group chat together. That's December 8th, Town Hall. Going to be an amazing show. And really, that's it. Let's get to today's guest. An OKP, original key player. He's been on the show many times. Excited to have him back. Hilarious comic. Phil Hanley, everybody. Phil, good to see you, buddy.
J-Train, great to see you, man. You're in the West Village. I'm coming to you from the East.
Oh, really?
We're covering Lower Manhattan.
East Coast, Lower Manhattan, East Coast, West Coast, getting together. How are you today? What's going on? Now, Phil is taping. And listen, again, there's a reason for everything, people. Phil is on this show because he's got a special that he's taping at the Comedy Cellar, November 16th, two shows, 8 and 10 p.m., Comedy Cellar. When you tape a special, Phil... You did a Comedy Central half hour special.
Yeah, I've done a half hour special, and then I did a special in Canada, like way before I should have done a special in Canada. Mm. So I've done a couple, but this is all me. So like, I'm like, self-financing it. I'm like hiring everybody.
we are a podcast that is all about entrepreneurial endeavors. And I think it's great what you're doing. It's great what a lot of comics are doing. Make it yourself. Put it out yourself. Get your audience. Have people go. And anyone listening right now is going to love Phil. He's hilarious. He talks about dating and relationships on stage. You're going to love hearing his act. And if you're in the New York area, Comedy Cellar, what a pleasurable experience to go to that club. November 16th, 8 and 10 p.m. Go to their website. Get your it's a reservation. So you don't even have to, you know, get the reservation because these fill up, right?
Yeah, it'll be hope. I mean, we're trying. It's it's a big endeavor. So yeah, if people bought tickets, that would mean a lot.
So everyone go. Listen, you got me. I'm telling you right now. I know the audience listening. I know who they'll have fun seeing. You're going to have fun seeing Phil Hanley at the Cellar November 16th. It is a special taping. What goes through your mind? I love talking to Canadian comedians, and someone came out to me the other day. They go, "Why are Canadian comedians so good?" And I might have talked to you about this in the past, but I think Canadians respect comedy as a job in a way that is different than America.
Yeah, I think that there's that, and we're like America's little brother. So we're watching, you know, we have our experience, but we have our eyes on what you guys are doing too. So we have a bit of an outside perspective on everything that's going down. And I don't know. I think it's also, there's very little opportunity as far as like, you know, there's like kind of one famous comedian at a time in Canada. So,
yes,
you know, it's pretty competitive.
Who is that right now? Who's the one Canadian? Who's the top of the Canadian mountain?
I would say, I mean, internationally, Russell Peters.
Yeah, still.
Still. And in Canada, there's a comedian named Brent Butt who is like, Brent Butt, yeah. And he's been around forever. He's like our Seinfeld. He had a show on in Canada. He's so funny, but he's mostly known in Canada. But if you saw him, you'd be dying. Like, he's just so funny.
I take your word for it, but we're not here to talk about Mr. Butt. We're here to talk about Mr. Hanley. I want everyone to go to Phil's shows. He's hilarious. And I want to get right to the emails because Phil knows how this show works. Always gives great advice. Always fun. November 16th, Comedy Cellar, 8 and 10 p.m. Two shows, a special taping. It's going to be special. It's going to be fun. Also, Phil's coming to Austin. I was just in Austin. He's going to be at the same place I was, the Vulcan Gas Company, November 19th through 20th. Where do they get tickets? Where do they go? You got a website?
Yeah, you go to my website, philhanley.com.
There it is. So everyone go Phil's website, philhanley.com. Austin, New York. But most importantly, New York, we want to make this special. It's got to pop. We're going to hear the audience when they watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, I need your people. You have They're energetic coming. People.
Listen, energetic. Listen, let's get to the emails. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Phil Hanley on Instagram as well, @PhilMHanley. Okay, you ready? I love this question because it's in the lifestyle category of questions. We get a lot of dating relationships. This one's called SOS Batch Advice Question. I love a bachelor party. I love a bachelorette party. I love the dynamic. As I mentioned in the beginning of the show, this is like, I know how to go on a trip, but now I got all these different personalities sprinkled in. How do you do it, you know?
Yeah, and as a comic, when a bachelorette party comes in or a bachelor party comes in, you can spot, you can identify each character. You know what I mean?
Oh, you can. So what Phil's talking about is like, for whatever reason, bachelorette parties love a comedy show experience. They put it as a part of their whole deal. And you're right. You see the group and you see who's the alpha, who's getting married.
Yeah.
You see who's mad that they're there. Who's this is outside of that person's budget. This is the person that it was inside of their budget.
You know,
this is the person that's already married. That's the one that's engaged.
Yeah.
Bachelor parties don't show up as much to comedy shows because a group of, and when they do, they all just seem angry. The men just don't seem happy to be there.
Yeah, they're there because of their one religious friend that doesn't want them to go to a strip bar.
Yeah, That's true. All right, so this one, SOS batch advice question. Hi, Papa JT, Feather Feather. I came to your comedy show, and to be honest, I was so surprised by how funny you were. Wow, thank you. This is the thing. When you, it's like, you know, back in the day, you'd watch, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond, and you might go to, like, you know, a comedy show and see someone from that show, and you go, oh, I just thought you were on Raymond. Now it's like, oh, I just thought you had this podcast. No, go to the shows, people. I know what I'm talking about. Phil's great. November 16th. You're going to be surprised by him like you were by me. So ready? I was so surprised by how funny we were. I can't wait to see you again. Here, I was thinking your calling was the giving advice, but obviously comedy is also your calling. I like to think the advice is funny here, but okay. anywho, I'm coming to you because I know you have the lowdown on how to throw the proper bachelor party, and perhaps you'll have the lowdown on a proper bachelorette. I was recently invited to a bachelorette party where we were basically told the itinerary and asked to shell up $2,000+. No questions asked. All of us are in our mid-20s, no longer on daddy's credit card, in graduate school and are working with starting salaries. More than half of the girls invited are messaging each other, commenting on the absurd expenses for a weekend trip. On top of that, she's having a destination wedding where the cost of travel and stay are also quite high. And the couple getting married are quite fancy, and I fear they require a fancy gift. Papa JT, what are us girls to do? How do we elegantly address our discomfort and even inability to pay for the whole bachelorette trip? Canceling is out of the question because we've already paid for travel and hotel stay, which was about $1,000. Thank you in advance for your help, and thank you for your brilliant mind, blessing us all with your wisdom. Best. What do we think, Mr. Hanley? This is a tough situation. They've already, money is in. My first inclination was, you're out, and that's okay because my inclination was because I understand that 20-year-old, that mid-20s feeling of everyone's going to be mad if I don't show up. And what And I think you when you get to your 30s, you go, I don't give a fuck if everyone's mad. And what you find out is that they're not. They actually don't don't mind.
Totally. People get it. But no, I understand. I mean, first off, 2K, that's a lot.
For just the bachelorette. We're not even talking bridal shower. We're not even talking the destination wedding that's coming up, the gift. Like, we're up to, you know, if we're being kind, you know, to the people throwing the wedding, if they're already at 2,000, we're heading into the $4,000 territory for one person.
Quickly heading that direction. Very quickly,
yeah.
I would say this. I would go, okay, so if the 2K... for the bachelorette, if you're in, then I would then be like that the present and stuff like that has to be reflected on the fact that you've already spent the 2K on the party.
We're talking a my presence is my present situation.
In your 20s, I think your presence is your presence. Yes.
Especially when you've agreed to all these things. I would say to her, I don't like the way this all happened. And here's the other thing that's she's not saying, but I know is happening. This bachelorette party invite list is way larger than it should have been. If you're gonna say to people we're taking a weekend trip, and she says, you know, half the girls more than half of the girls invited are messaging each other, commenting on the absurd expenses for the weekend trip. That means you've invited twice as many people as you should have.
Like, absolutely.
You know, so, yeah. And I'm inferring a lot, but this comes from knowledge. This comes from being a person who's been invited to a lot of bachelor parties in the past. I just know how this dynamic works. And I know that this other group chat that's going on it's a boiling hot pot. Like, it is getting hotter and hotter, and it's going to get very bad. This trip will not be an enjoyable trip, and they're already in for 1,000, moving up to 2,000.
It's building. Yeah, it's like a storm of negative energy building now. There's no way it can live up to that. And, I mean, I personally could not imagine asking my friends to spend $2,000 on a party.
Listen, and I can't, but I can. Like, I can understand how this happens. And I've been on this trip. And the bachelor party is only as fun as the most miserable person lets you have fun.
Absolutely.
So that's the other problem is, like, Nobody wants to be the shit, the turd in the punch bowl. I mean, if I were this woman, I would send this podcast to the whole bachelorette party and have them hear us discuss it so they can hear two reasonable people, because we're not emotional about it. Here's what happens. You know, it becomes, well, you're fucking rich. Your parents pay all your fucking bills, and it becomes personal very quickly.
Yeah.
And it's not that. This person's just saying, I love my friend. I love the group that's going.
Yeah.
I'm already in for a thousand. I need this. I need some semblance of unity here. I need the group to and I don't want to be the one, cheapo cheapskate Steen. I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
It's a conundrum.
I think commiserating with people helps, but I think once you're in the $2,000, you got to have a hell of a time. I mean, you have to enjoy that, but I think going for that trip is going to be more memorable than a deluxe toaster oven at the wedding.
So hold on. So this is, now we're in the advice portion of this. We've discussed it a little bit. You're saying no gift. I'm saying let's forget the gift. That's already, like, to me, I understand what you're saying, but we're already too far ahead. We have to concentrate on this bachelorette party.
Okay.
We have to concentrate on that they're already in for $1,000 and there's no chance of canceling. Right now, Hitler had an assistant too. It wasn't just Hitler in charge. So, not to bring, I'm just saying dictators have assistants.
Yeah.
Okay. So the bachelorette party might be planned by the woman getting married, but she has someone that is running the show who thinks that $2,000 is a appropriate amount.
Absolutely. And it could have got away from the actual host.
We have to get to that person.
Yeah.
We need to have a personal conversation, not on text. You need to get together with them for coffee. Hey, and you need to be someone, maybe this person, because they're, emailing here. So they've explained it pretty well. You need to get coffee with whoever the bride's, whoever's in charge of this party, whoever sent out that party itinerary. You got to sit with her and be like, hey, and now you are the representative of the peasants. You're from Cheapville, and you're going to say to her, hey, we have an issue. There's anger in the town. The townspeople are starting to mobilize, and we're all in on this trip, but we have to figure out an itinerary that lets people politely opt out of certain things, or an itinerary that includes everyone and can be fun for everyone at a price that acknowledges that $1,000 has already been spent on a wedding that has a destination wedding. And if that person can't understand that, then you got to go to the top dog. But that person is whoever this person is that is. And now the itinerary can include, hey, we're not going to do dinners. We're not going to do group dinners. Dinner will be at your leisure. We'll be meeting at this place later in the night, and it's a bar where everyone can do their own tab. It doesn't have to be a table bottle service thing. Then it becomes, hey, we're going to do an event that is fun but doesn't cost a lot of money. I'm trying to think of, like, off the top of my head, like, something in the vein of, like, hey, we're gonna go to a daytime, we're gonna go watch football and be around a bunch of dudes watching football. I don't know, this is things I'm thinking in a very male way.
Like, you're gonna go to the beach on Saturday or whatever,
in the beach
or what depending what town they're in. There's things, or opposed to going to, like, the 5-star restaurant in that town.
Right away, making dinner not a dinner, or cutting it to one dinner, you've already alleviated a lot of financial pain.
Absolutely.
But you need this person's itinerary to be so specific that it makes the people who are very worried about money more comfortable. Because you don't want them coming in more miserably. So you need to get to that itinerary maker and just let them know, hey, there's a big group of us that are really, like, nervous about the amount of money being spent on this trip.
Yeah.
And we want to be included. We want to have fun. but we need to create an itinerary together before we just send things out and say, that's how much it costs. Because it's a little bit insulting to the people who are already $1,000 in.
Totally. Yeah, you failed if there's a meal and a couple of people are just eating bread.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's a failure. So, but you're right. You could save so much money from, or just have one dinner, and that almost makes it more special, right? Saturdays are one dinner, opposed to like, we're going out three meals a day for the full weekend.
Totally agree. And I like, you know, I think, I'm trying to think of like bachelor parties I've gone on that have been great. Like I once went on a bachelor party to Vail, Colorado, and like skiing is an expensive event, but yeah. So, you know, what we did was like, okay, Saturday, you're either skiing or we're meeting up at the bar after everyone's done skiing. And now that gave everyone kind of the opportunity to go, hey, we're going to be the group that sleeps in. Hey, we're going to be the group that goes skiing. Hey, we're going to be the group that, you know, or I'm going to be the group that does one run of skiing and then just hangs at the bar. You know, when you make open-ended, this is the plan, and you have to make events that are available to everyone and no judgment for not being there. And this is a very difficult thing to do, but I think she needs to get together with this assistant to really discuss this out.
That, and I've been on trips where that's the vibe, and it's just, it makes everyone relax. And then when everyone does meet up, like everyone's meeting for the drink after the skiing, and the people that slept in, the people that watch football that day, and the people that skied meet up, it's re-energizing. Opposed to dragging 18 people here and 18 people there. It's just exhausting.
The whole game of a bachelorette party is tent pole events where everyone knows but only a few. You don't want to over plan, but you want to make sure, just like you said, everyone, oh, look at, we're all here at dinner. Oh, yeah. Look at, you know, that guy's here, that guy. Oh yeah. You know, they're bringing in energy. You're totally right. Yeah. And I think the biggest mistake she can make is to personalize this. If you go to that assistant person, if you go to the bride and say, you guys can afford it, we can't. No, that's not the right attitude. It's totally. Hey, we want to have fun, but I have 10,000 of disposable income a year, and you've just taken up one, you know, like, I don't know, like,
yeah.
You have to put it in a way that opens up the conversation and lets them know, like,
absolutely,
money must be acknowledged. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, here with Phil Hanley, @PhilMHanley on Instagram. The special, it's being taped. So you're going to, when you tape a special, people, this isn't like Phil trying out jokes. He's coming in with heaters. He's coming in for the kill.
So every syllable, man.
Every syllable. November 16th, 8 and 10 p.m., Comedy Cellar. Also, November 19th to 20th in Austin, Texas. Go, philhanley.com. How to actually own your standard. Jared, I love all your content. Saw one of your live shows in D.C., which was such a great time. Thanks for everything you do. Thank you. My question today is about how to actually own your standard. You talk a lot about this on your podcast, and it's something that I've definitely been trying to do in my dating life. But sometimes I feel like it's really hard to actually do. With the last guy I was seeing, everything was going great at first, and he was everything I wanted from someone. Then after a month or so, he changed and wasn't treating me in a way that aligned with my standards. I knew I needed to cut things off with him, but I had a really hard time doing this because I cared about him a lot and still do. And the first month had been so great. I found it hard to completely cut it off because of this. Do you have any advice for the actual process of owning your standard or how to make it less difficult? Any thoughts or advice would be very much appreciated. This is a good question. Phil, what do you think?
Really?
And I talk about own your standard has become kind of like a tagline of this podcast and the UUP podcast. And it's really, you know, it's something when something becomes a tagline, it becomes, the more vague it gets, the more you forget how to do it. So I understand what she's saying. And also, let me just say to her, it is easier said than done. You know, 100%. Standards live on a spectrum, not a hard line when you're dealing with someone you care about. You know, like, you know, when you care about someone, you say, hey, I want to do a dinner date. And then they do it, and the dinner date is fine. You go, okay, they did what I needed. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I do love them. How do you think, Phil? How would you relate to this email?
Well, I mean, for one, I have been in that situation where I dated a woman for 4 months. The first month was the greatest relationship I ever had. And then the last three were the worst that I ever had.
Yeah.
But you're in this weird place where you're trying to get back.
Yes.
To where you were. But that's impossible. That's like you have a great summer and then all of a sudden the winter comes along and you're still wearing shorts being like, no, I want it to be as warm as it was. You can't go back. You really
got to evolve.
And I'm not saying like one bad day you're out, but you can see this isn't as good as it was. And that you have to base it on the current moment, not, well, it was great 4 weeks ago.
So the reality is you're not getting first month person in the 10th month.
No,
it's just, that is a different person. The first month person was, they're putting on a show a little bit, you know, it's not, and you have no history. There's no buildup. There's no, I won't say anything now. And then it becomes 10 months later, you know, like I was thinking about this today because a friend of mine was in a situation where they were just like really angry from work. And they were like, a friend of mine, they were like, I was talking to them on the phone today. They're like, I actually didn't even go home. I slept, you know, I just like, I was like, fuck it. I'm sleeping at the office. And I was thinking of like their wife, you know, and I was like, that's so the opposite of how I would have handled it. Like I would have gone home and just tried to like shuffle it under the bed, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about him doing that is actually probably, that was so him. You know what I mean? Like me going home and shuffling it under the bed is actually me putting on an act, you know, like, and that's an act you do in month one. And if you're still doing it in month five, are you really growing with this person?
Yeah.
Like to me, I was like, oh, that guy doing him totally. That is him to a T. And I know him. It was so him that I was like jealous of how okay he was with being him in his relationship. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. 100%.
And you're like, oh man, have I ever not put away the act? You know what I mean? So like, you know, to this person who's writing in, you say the first month there is an, you're like, it was so great in the first month. It's like, yeah. That, and when they start avoiding or not being the boyfriend that you want them to be or the girlfriend you want them to be, you have to say, well, this is them either being them or avoiding even having the conversation with me about who they really are, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes if you want to get back to that place, sometimes the only way you can do it, and I'm not saying, is to confront them, or if you cut them off, maybe they'll have an awakening and realize that they were kind of dropping the ball.
That's kind of my advice to this person. They're looking for real world answers to a vague statement of owning your standard. And what I would say to them is, so many of the questions that I receive about dating and relationships are all like, they're vague questions. How do I get them to be a better boyfriend? Oh, I don't know what the fuck that means to you.
Yeah.
How do I get them to commit? Well, what does that mean to you? I don't know what commitment means to you or what that, you know, we all think these words mean the same thing to everyone. They don't.
No.
What I would say to this person, and listen again, easier said than done. They write, I knew I needed to cut things off with him, but I had a really hard time doing this because I cared about him a lot and still do. The first month had been so great. We just discussed, you're not going to get a first month guy, okay? You have to stop thinking of the first month and how great it was and how you have to get back to that. You have to start thinking of like, what's the next thing I want? That's how you own your standard. It's like not, oh, I need, you got to treat me like a lady and you got to open door. No, no, no. Do you want a dinner date? Do you want like a plan to be made for you? And you have to say to the person, hey, I'm turned off by how you've been acting lately. Say those exact words. Be turned off. I am turned off by how you've been acting lately. I would like to do blankety blank, whatever that is for you. I would like to hang out together this weekend. Make it happen. They do or they don't. That's the reality. That's the and if they don't, you go and hey, no other conversation. Every conversation we have that isn't about the plan this weekend, it turns me off a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they're now put at the place of losing you.
That's great advice. First off, no man wants to hear that something's turning the person off. That's, I mean, you could say that for if you're living with your boyfriend and he doesn't do the dishes, you can be like, that turns me off. And those dishes are going to be clean.
Shit got real. Right? We relate to hard and not hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. And it's, it's kind of emasculating to be like, oh my, you know.
You don't think I'm hot? Like,
And also great advice, a specific thing. It's like anything in your life. If you're like, I want my career to go better. You're like, yeah, that's vague. Pick something. What do you want? You know what I mean? You want that promotion or you want sell more tickets, whatever you want, be specific. I think that's great. I think that's exactly a great advice.
Listen, I didn't think I would get a lesson from the Shang-Chi movie. I saw Shang-Chi with Ronnie Chang, our friend Ronnie Chang.
Oh, right, yeah.
I went and saw it in theaters. I loved it. Great movie. Ronnie's great in it. But they have a very good line in it. There's a line in it where, like, I can't believe I'm quoting a Marvel movie, but it was like, aim for nothing, hit nothing. And it's like, that's true to everything in life. So it's like
100%. Yeah.
So if let's start thinking of like what you want. And if you can't even say if you don't even know what you want, then how can you expect the other person to know what you want? So start at that.
Yeah.
Second of all, when you say what you want and then you know how to answer the test at that point, you know how to grade them. So, and you would say like, well, you know, a lot of people out there would be like, they're against ultimatums. They're against this. I am not against that. For you're 4 months in, you got to know what you want.
Yes.
And 4 months in are small ass. And it's an honest ass. The J Train podcast is excited to announce our new sponsor, Bev. It's time to break the cycle of gifting the same old dusty bottle of wine back and forth to your friends and family. Actually, don't just break it. It's time to can it with Bev canned wine. I have the Bev canned wine and I love it. I love having it. I put it in the fridge. I like a colder wine no matter what. I don't care what you say. I'm just telling you right now, it's fantastic. And it's in this cute, fun can. And you crack it open. And I've had, you know, people over to have it with me. And you can see them light up. It's one of those cool. I really just enjoyed it. Their wines are dry, crisp, and a little fizzy, super refreshing and delicious. I've been drinking them during The Bachelorette, and I love them. I'm a huge Bev fan. Plus, zero sugar and only 3 carbs and 100 calories per serving. And Bev comes in 6 varietals: Rosé, Sauv Blanc, Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, and Glitz and Glam. I love the Rosé. It's fantastic, and it's crisp, light, good, delicious, goes down smooth, and it's just nice to drink wine out of a can. I just like it. Bev is the female-first canned wine brand made by chicks. It was founded to not only change the way you drink wine, but the way this stodgy, old, male-dominated industry has operated for generations. From Bev's female winemaker to their CEO and founder, they are breaking the wine glass ceiling one can at a time, people. Bev ships straight to your door, and shipping is always free. Their 4 packs are great for gifting or hosting. What a... It is a great thing to bring to a party. I am telling you right now, I have it in my fridge. I'm loving it. I'm drinking it all the time. I've worked out a special deal just for you. You can get 20% off your first purchase plus free shipping on all orders. I suggest trying their best-selling Ladies Night Variety Pack so you can check out all of their delicious varietals. Go to drinkbev.com/JTrain or use code JTrain at checkout to claim this deal. That's drinkbev.com/JTrain. Drinkbev.com/JTrain. 20% off your first purchase plus free shipping. Or get Bev nationwide at Target, Total Wine, BevMo, and more. The J Train is excited. We're very excited. This is going to be great. New sponsor, loving it. Welcome to the team, Bev. The J Train podcast is brought to you by Upstart. If you dread looking at your credit card statements, you're not alone. Debt can feel crippling, but Upstart can help you on your path to financial freedom. I'm telling you, this is just an opportunity. If you got debt, Upstart might be able to help you. I don't know if they can, but it's worth a try. This is the equivalent of finding a $20 bill in your pocket. Upstart is the fast and easy way to get a personal loan to pay off your debt all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. Upstart finds smarter rates with trusted partners because they assess more than just your credit score. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate up front for loans from $1,000 to $50,000. You can get approved the same day and can receive funds as fast as one business day. If debt is taking over your life, it's time to get a fresh start with Upstart. The beauty about this is if you have debt, you're paying a rate. Upstart might be able to have a better rate, and then you're saving money. There it is. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/JTrain. Don't forget to use my URL to let them know I sent you. That's upstart.com/JTrain. Here's the fine print. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/JTrain. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Phil Hanley. Hey, people, you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't go see Phil Hanley at the Comedy Cellar. November 16th, 8 and 10 p.m. Am I in town? Maybe I'll be there, like, just waving at people as they walk in.
Oh, J-Train, absolutely, man.
I'll come greet at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally a Tuesday night. So I'll be, well, that's Bachelorette night. So maybe I'm not going to be there. So listen, I'll be there in spirit. So November 16th.
Possibly there physically. Possibly. I feel like you can watch it. I feel like you could pop in during a commercial break.
Maybe I'll do that. So November 16th, 8 and 10 at the Comedy Cellar. November 19th and 20, Austin, Texas. PhilHanley.com. PhilHanley.com. Okay, lifestyle question, adult friendships. I like this question. J-Train, Feather, love the podcast. Can't wait to see you when you come to Syracuse soon. I'm coming to Cuse, baby. My boyfriend and I moved in together about a month and a half ago. My friends all live out of town about an hour away. His friends live back where he grew up about 45 minutes away from where we live now. We want to make friends, but know it can be tough to make new friends as adults. Our apartment building seems to be full of people our age. I'm 25, he's 27, but how do we go about hanging out, talking to them, because besides saying hello when you pass in the hallway or outside? I've made friends with many of my coworkers, but they are in their 40s and 50s and have kids and aren't always available to do things on nights and weekends, and my boyfriend works from home with one day in the office and isn't very connected with his team at work. We do travel to visit my friends and his friends, but we want to meet people in our area too. Where do we start? Why are adult friendships so hard to find? So what do we think?
I feel like meeting neighbors and stuff like that is, if you put a little effort into it, it happens quite quickly. You know what I mean? Like, I would just ask, you're in the elevator, I would just ask people where they get, you know, what's a good place to grab a drink in the neighborhood, or.
That's a good question. I mean, like, yeah, you're looking for thought starters when it comes to the neighbor thing, because, and this sounds very nerdy, but to be like, to write down like 5 questions you could ask in an elevator that, yeah, you know, like, hey, we just moved to town. We just moved to town. Where can we get a drink? Have you seen any nice restaurants in the area? And people who are open talk, and people who are closed don't talk. Like, yeah, you feel, that's the hard part. I can't teach you how to feel a vibe, but you have to feel a vibe. I would say to this person, they said they're coming to my show in Syracuse. I think that's a good place to start.
Totally.
The apartment building people are good because, this is kind of the sad reality of things, is like they are socioeconomically related to you. You guys are all paying similar rent, so you probably have a lot of similarities just generally. Job, yeah. Career, all that stuff. Place in life. So you're going to get along. So you can kind of trust that. You come to my show, you go to a bar that's like near the club, you're going to see other people that are going towards the club, or you sit at a table near people, you see them laughing. Hey, are you guys going anywhere after this? We're looking for a bar. We just moved to town. We're looking to go out. Are you guys going out? You seem like a fun couple. I mean, yeah. The hard part about this, I think being in a couple makes it easy because you're two people that like, they're like there together. Like, I don't think people like their first thought is like, look at these swingers when the couple's being nice to them. That's Yeah. They're thinking, oh, this couple's pretty cool. And if you go up and talk to another couple, like they're looking for friends too. They want to be, here's the thing. People who get in relationships want to still be cool and relevant and young. And when you get in a relationship, you feel like you're kind of out of the game because you're not at a bar, you're not with people, you're not like outwardly trying to meet people. And I think when couples meet each other, they're like proud of themselves. So you kind of have to trust that just like you, the other couple wants that thing to change in their life as well.
Yeah, I think I totally, yeah. And I think people would love, especially, you know, you're in your 20s and you're living, you know, I think they would love to have friends in the building.
Yeah. So the building, you're coming to my show, you'll meet other couples there, go to a place that, and I think also going to a bar and hanging out at a bar. And I think that's something like when you get into a relationship, and I've been there, like I would be like, it's like either we're here or dinner. It was very rare that you're like, let's just go to a bar and get fucked up together. Yeah, and I think that helps you. I think they should do that.
100%. Because we're at the Cellar, our social life is at the Cellar. But sometimes now, if I'm in my neighborhood, we're done at like early, I'll just grab a drink in my neighborhood. So I'm like, I should just know more. When I have friends visit or whatever, I'm like, where should we get a drink? The Comedy Cellar? Like, you know, I always just go to the Cellar. So now I'm just going to bars and stuff in the East Village. I always meet somebody. Just, hey, how's it going? You know what I mean? And then you've seen the person twice. All of a sudden, you're like chatting or whatever. So they should just go, if there's local bars or casual restaurants that have like a bar in their neighborhood, on a Wednesday, instead of just having a glass of wine and hanging out at home, go grab a drink, go have a beer.
Totally. I think it's all about getting out as a couple and deciding, hey, we're having a night tonight. That like when you're single, you're like, no dinner, I'm drinking and I'll eat late at night. Like that's a single person move.
Yeah.
You have to, I think as a couple to make friends, you have to do more single person moves. Like, hey, fuck dinner night. Let's go out and get drinks at the local bar and like, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, totally.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Phil Hanley. At Phil M. Hanley on Instagram.
Yeah.
Go follow. Let's do one more, then we'll get to some screenshot emails. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Okay. Guy needs dating advice about TikTok. Okay. Jared, been a fan of yours since the TFM days. I'm writing to this podcast as opposed to you up, so I won't be in one of those fuckboy or nah segments. Okay. My girlfriend and I have been together for 3 years. Everything was hunky-dory until TikTok came around. That's right, TikTok. My girlfriend's pretty prominent on TikTok with 100K-plus subscribers. Wow, tell her to post about Phil's show.
Please.
She will often participate in these TikTok trends that involve making fun of the quote-unquote loser boyfriend in a lighthearted way. The first couple were funny, but my breaking point was when she participated in the show me how you know your boyfriend won't cheat on you tag. I remember this one. It was like, show me how your boyfriend won't cheat on you. And then it was like showing him being like, and then the girl would like show her boyfriend being like, you see, this is my action figures. And I, and like, yeah. you know, like it was like a, and he had no idea. And listed some of my quirky hobbies and the fact that I'm 5'7". Ooh, low blow.
Oh, yeah.
Literally. She also follows TikTok trends about, quote unquote, rewarding your boyfriend with sex if he doesn't, quote, fill in the blank. I have talked to a couple friends we have, and they think I'm overblowing this. My girlfriend insists I'm being controlling. Her friends have started to lightly tease me about this stuff. My question is, am I crazy for considering dumping her? I know clowning men when it comes to dating on social media is in vogue because of male privilege, but is she taking it too far? Well, this is an interesting question, and I love that he brought it here because this is the no judgment zone. And what do you think, Phil? He's the doof. He's the butt. He's the Brent butt of these jokes. You know, this is crazy.
I think the, like, your quirky hobbies or whatever now are is considered cool. Like, but I think if you're and I'm not saying you should be, but if you're self-conscious because you're 5'7" or self-conscious about whatever, and that's being brought up, I think you could politely say, like, hey, if it's something you know I'm a little bit insecure about, and we all have insecurities, maybe don't do one, you know, making fun of that.
Listen, I there is a line, you know, that has to be – listen, I've been in relationships, and there's a line, and I've crossed the line, and I felt bad about it, and I've admittedly made mistakes. I think – what you're saying is exactly what I'm saying right now. Like, she has to admit there's mistakes that could be made.
Yeah.
You know what
absolutely.
I mean? Like, she like the friends teasing you, say, just saying you're blanket controlling isn't really fair. But now let me give another point of view that maybe he's not acknowledging, because she has 100,000 followers. I don't think someone gets 100,000 followers for just doing boyfriend trends. They're probably pretty hot. You know, like, that's kind of the TikTok world, and the way to get a following is to do these trends. And it's the reason TikTok is a little bit depressing. Like, Instagram, if you're hot, you're an Instagram model. You know, like, you're just a model.
Yeah.
Like, and you can post pictures, and that's great. TikTok, and it kind of gets depressing as someone who, like, creates jokes and doesn't really, I don't do the trends normally. Like, when I'm on TikTok, I'm not like looking for the next trend to be like, let me get in on this. Like, if anything, I want to make fun of the trend. But what works on TikTok is repetitive. You have to just repeat the joke and do it in your own way. So what ends up happening is, you know, show me how your boyfriend won't leave me. You do that, and the ones, you know, there's funny ones that happen, and then the ones that have hot people genuinely do better. Just by virtue of you are an account that men want to keep looking at, or women want to keep looking at, or whatever. So I think the part of this, and we're getting the symptom, not the cause. Part of this is he might be looking very jealous of other men interacting with her page and kind of piling on of him. He's being a loser. Like, it's hard not to read the comments that are like, yeah, leave that chump, I'm pretty awesome.
Yeah no, absolutely. But yeah, I think there's two things. Then there's a line, but then there's also being confident and knowing that that's likely not going to happen, or at least I think you want to establish a line and then be a good sport.
That's the hardest part. And I do understand, like, when someone says you're being controlling, and that is a defense mechanism, because there's no denying that, you know, like, and I don't know, maybe he is being controlling. I'm just saying there's a very large gray area that we're talking about that, you know, did you say to her, hey, it hurt my feelings when you fucking made fun of me for being 5'7"? You know, I have an issue with that.
Yeah.
And she's like, stop being so controlling. That's not really great. Now, if you said these men are, you're going to end up leaving me for these guys that comment, That's a little, now that's a different thing. Now that's not a good look on you.
No.
Again, there's a spectrum to this that's very difficult to kind of advise on. I'm just saying, I don't, you know, and I do understand, and he writes, I know clowning on men when it comes to dating on social media is in vogue because of male privilege. Like, he's acknowledging what works on these, on TikTok. What works is repeating other jokes that aren't yours and being hot and clowning on punching, you know, punching down or punching up.
Yeah.
So like punching up meaning punching someone who's more privileged than you. So it's an interesting question, but I think he has to differentiate between, is he being jealous or is he being, you know, is he being unacknowledged as another person with feelings?
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, no. The friends getting into it, I her friends have started to lightly tease me. That's a disrespect of you. Like, I don't like that. Like, the fact that this has gone, that she's told the friends enough to, like, make fun of you about it. Like, or are they making fun of you because you're the doof boyfriend? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's I feel his pain, and I think you summed it up. There's him actually being controlling, or there's her just being dismissive and being like, "Oh, you're being controlling," and not really evaluating.
And that's really hard when, you know, the feedback from everyone, you know, when the feedback from her and her friends are the same. But it's like, you know, there's a point where it's like, yeah, well, good luck without your boyfriend. Like, and also, like, listen. Some people change. They get 100,000 followers. All of a sudden, I'm the star. I mean, I've kind of noticed it with some of the TikTok people. They remind me a little bit of child stars. You know, they're like, because they're starting to like even break down. Like, you can tell the way that like a lot of them are starting to have like breakdowns on TikTok. And you're like, what has happened?
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah.
Because they're also on TikTok, you're expected, if you want to become a big account on there, I've been told post 3 times a day. Can you imagine three times a day and then doing the thing that works again and again and again? And doofy boyfriend is working for her, so she's doing it again and again. So
absolutely,
she's more, you know, so I can understand that she's more inclined, you know, you can get addicted to the drug of the algorithm. So, and when you're addicted to something, you don't think of other people's feelings.
No.
You know, someone who's addicted to heroin doesn't give a shit about what their mom thinks.
That's
someone who's addicted 100%. To 100,000 followers and is like, doofy boyfriend works? Well, doofy boyfriend it is. You better stop being controlling because this is working for me.
Yeah.
I mean, the more I think about it, the more on his side I am because he's the emailer. But I'm also, he has to be aware of, am I just being jealous? I would, you got to start talking to your friends. I mean, her friends are irrelevant. They might be as addicted to her 100,000 followers as she is.
Yeah. Yeah.
The J Train Podcast is brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy. The best way to think about therapy is through analogies. We get oil changes for our cars to prevent bigger issues down the road. We see the doctor and go to the gym to take care of our bodies and prevent injury and disease. We do chores regularly to avoid a messy house. Therapy is the same exact thing, but for your mental health. People, this is such an opportunity because right now the hardest part about getting to therapy is getting to therapy. Who do you go to? Do you have the time? Do you want to leave the house? BetterHelp is going to help you through all of that because it's an easier way to get in front of a professional. Going to therapy doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It means you're investing in yourself and to keep your mind healthy. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. You can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Why invest in everything else and not your mind? This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and JTrain listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/JTrain. That's BETTERHELP.com/JTrain. BetterHelp.com/JTrain. The JTrain Podcast is thrilled to announce our new sponsor, ButcherBox. Ooh, when you have high-quality meats, it tastes so much better and it fills you, it nourishes you. You're a smart consumer. You want to know where your clothes are made, who roasts your coffee beans, and that your produce is locally sourced. And what about your meat? When it comes to meat, quality matters. And when you invest in high quality meat, the benefits go way beyond a great tasting meal. ButcherBox sources their meat from partners with the highest standards. Take the guesswork out of finding the best quality meat from the grocery store. Now you can get 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, or wild-caught seafood delivered right to you. I got the Butcher Box meats. It is unreal. It is so good. I'm cooking it in my apartment. It's delicious, great dinners, healthy, good stuff that's going to feel good when you eat it. Every month, ButcherBox ships a curated selection of high-quality meats right to your home. It's the best of farm-fresh living right to you. No antibiotics and or added hormones. This is great. Plus, you can customize your box, pick from a great selection of chicken, beef, pork, or seafood, or go with one of their curated kits. Either way, you get exactly what you want. Free shipping for the continental U.S. And I'm telling you right now, I'm from a family that we grill all year long. If you're going to grill through the winter, you got to get involved with ButcherBox. Right now, ButcherBox is offering new members a 10 to 16 pound turkey free in their first box. What? You're going to want to gobble up this offer. Just go to ButcherBox.com/JTrain to sign up. That's ButcherBox.com/JTrain to receive a free turkey in your first box. ButcherBox, the search for quality meats ends here. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Phil Hanley. New York City, baby. He's doing two tapings of his special. They're going to be this. You tape it twice so that you get it once. So go. Everyone go. The Comedy Cellar, November 16th, 8 and 10 p.m. Go to those shows. Okay, you ready? Let's read this one. I love this email. You ready? Well, it's called Engagement Emergency. Feather, I'm a big fan of all your work to the point that I worry I must annoy you by now by how much... hold on, let me start this again. For some reason, this came up. This came up as one of those emails ago. Okay, ready? Let's do it. Engagement Emergency. Good evening, Jared. Feather. I'm a big fan of all your work to the point that I worry I must annoy you by how much of your content I comment on / interact with. You're not annoying at all. My question is a lot less serious than most of the ones you answer, but I need some help. So my girlfriend and I are planning on getting engaged soon. We are gay. And we both, well, who better than two straight dudes to help two gay women with their issues?
I got this.
We both have engagement rings for each other. I was wondering how that would work. We talked about it, and she wants to propose first. I know she's been planning it for a while, but has had to adjust her plan for some timing-related reason unbeknownst to me. Originally, we were going to be engaged before Thanksgiving, but now she is telling me she will do it between December and February because of a scheduling issue. The problem is, I don't know if this is true. We were planning a trip to Austin in November. Oh, Phil's got some shows. Maybe this was all part of the plan. Yeah,
this is it. I could be part of the proposal.
And because I used to live there, I would love to propose to her sometime there that is super special to me. I think she would be okay with it if I proposed first, if it was really cute and a huge surprise. But I'm getting suspicious that maybe she is actually planning to propose in Austin that weekend. So I don't want to try to propose if that's what she's going to do. Here's a text between me and my sister when I was trying to get her to help me and spill the tea, but I'm just even more confused. Obviously, at the end of the day, I don't care how it happens. I just want to marry her because she's the best person I've ever met. But what should I do? Should I plan to propose while we're in Austin in November, or should I just chill out and let her go first? Screenshots of my convo with my sister attached. Please help, a wise one. So let's read the screenshot. Ready? I'll be her, you be her sister.
Oh shit, J Train, I'm such a bad reader. Let me, okay, sorry. Oh, here we go. This is okay. Yellow. Wait, you gave me two.
It's called.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Here we go.
Engagement emergency. Screenshots is included.
So what color am I?
You're black. I'm blue.
Oh, good. That's less reading. Okay.
Yes.
Tell
I got
everybody
you.
I'm dyslexic.
Phil's dyslexic, so excuse his reading. Okay.
Okay, go.
Okay, so this is a text exchange she had with her sister when she was trying to like get some info, it feels like.
Okay, are you the woman who sent the email? I'm the sister.
Yes, you're the sister.
Okay, I'm the sister. Okay.
She writes, nothing's wrong, LOL. I just need help. Anna and I are talking about going to Austin the weekend of November 13th. Always, she's just going to miss you. And I'm thinking I'd like to surprise her and propose to her there. But I don't want to mess it up if she's planning to propose there. And I know she wants to propose first. So if she will not have proposed by then, I have to decide if I should try to do it and surprise her at that point, LOL. But I can't trust anyone to tell me the truth.
I thought she told Mom and I that she did not want to propose to you until after November 15th. And I remember thinking that was weirdly specific, but yeah, so maybe you should wait.
LOL, that's not terribly helpful, but fine.
Jesus, didn't you go to law school? Oh, sorry. You should wait. You idiot. Oh, Jesus Christ. You, how helpful was that?
Yeah. Okay. So let me just tell this person, I love that she wrote in. She's nervous. She's excited. She's scared. I get it. Do not propose to your girlfriend. You have made, if anything I've learned, it, and you said you went to law, like your sister's telling you, I think it's going to happen in Austin. The idea that this place is special to you, but I don't know. But the most important part is that you guys have established rules. You said you agreed to her proposing first. Stick with the first rule. The first rule on the board is the most important rule. No running at the pool. Then it's don't pee in the pool. Okay? Running is more important than peeing because running gets people more hurt than peeing. You know, this is rule. You start. This is like in math when it's like the PEMDAS, like the order of how to do the equation. Don't you think?
I think, and it's like you just wait because also, first off, it's such a positive thing. The whole thing's very positive.
Yeah.
Just don't get in the way. Just sit back. You're about to get proposed to someone who you describe as the best person you've ever met.
And you said, I don't even care as long as we just get married. So stop caring. You're getting married. It's going to happen. Enjoy.
Do not ruin Austin by sitting and being like, is it going to happen now? Is it going to happen now? And then you're in a bad mood on the flight home. Just enjoy Austin and enjoy everything else. And talk to your sister about her attitude.
I think you have to live in the land of let it happen. Especially when you know it's going to happen. Like, let the world come at you.
It's going to happen.
Get on the roller coaster. Enjoy the ride. Go to Austin. If it doesn't happen there, it's going to happen. But you have agreed. And you agreed with a woman you love and trust. So keep loving and trusting them. Like, I know why she's worried. Like, it's all new. She doesn't know what to do. But the idea that she said, Austin is a very special place to me. And then her sister's, like, trying not to ruin the surprise. Like, Your sister is doing you the nicest favor in the world, she's trying to get you to enjoy life, and you're going, and she can't spell it out anymore.
No.
So now you've emailed us and you've had us explain to you, like, it's gonna fucking happen. Just sit there and you'll get to, and here's the other thing. Sure, Austin would be a great idea for how you would be special to you. There will be other special moments for you to propose to. You'll figure it out. And if Austin's that special to you, maybe you do another trip to Austin where you propose. But maybe this will get Austin out of your system, and you have another thing that's special to you too. Let it happen.
Let it happen,
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Phil Henley. Let's do one more. I sent you one more email. Is that okay?
Yeah, totally. So am I reading the yellow or the white?
Hold on. Let me just find it. We'll get there.
Okay.
I'll do the yellow, but okay.
Okay.
This one's called What's the right way to be told he has a kid? Okay. Jared, Feather. Huge fan of the pod. Got an interesting Bumble message the other day and just had to hear your opinions on it. This guy I was chatting with randomly blurted out that he has a child. I was very thrown off and got to thinking how I would prefer to find out. I'm not comfortable dating someone with a child at the moment, but I honestly was more just so turned off by the way he told me about it. I think it's better to have it on your profile, but this person seemed to think that people don't look at the profile and may miss it. Is this true? What's the right way to be told this? See screenshots attached for reference. Since we were having a couple conversations at once, I circled the messages about this, about his kid. No need to read the other messages. May confuse the issue. Ha ha. Okay, so let's get to the part about his kid. So I'll read them for us, okay? So I'll read him in these situations.
All right.
So they're having a long conversation, and then at the end of it, he writes, "Also, sorry for big delay in responding. I have a daughter who is almost three, and have her here for a couple hours on Wednesday nights." And then she writes, "Oh, you have a daughter? Wow, that's a pretty big deal. Care to tell me more? It's okay if you don't feel comfortable sharing, but I'm curious since you brought her up. Sorry about dropping the daughter on you, ha. I had it in my profile and realized no one reads it, and I always brought it up to be safe anyways. I have no problem telling more, and I'm an open book. Feel free to ask any questions, but my daughter turns three in December. She's adorable and awesome. Her name is blank, and she lives here with her mom most of the time, and I have her about 30% of the time, which is kind of standard for a dad. I'm divorced and separated about 2.5 years from my ex-wife, but we finally legally divorced in July since it took a while to figure out custody, etc." And then she writes, "Hey, sorry for the delayed response. Thanks for sharing. So wonderful that you have that time with her. If I'm being honest, though, I'm not really interested in seeing someone with a child. Please don't take it personally. I'm just not ready for that. I wish you the best, though." And then he writes, "No problem at all. Appreciate your honesty. Take care. Phil, what do you think of this interaction? Do you think anything was done wrongly?"
No, I've never used dating sites, but I question why you wouldn't have it in your profile if you're gonna, and then you're bringing it up anyway. To me, well, it seems like that's here, weird.
I guess there's two ways to think about it. He doesn't have it in the profile because he felt he was getting less matches.
Nope. And yeah, that's the reality. I would think
that's so he either knows that he either saw that he goes, how can I, he either felt I'm not getting a lot of matches. I need more. Let me take out the kid part. See how it goes. Let's start at that. And I would say that has a lot to do more with the drug of a dating app than it does deceiving people for sex, in a way, because of the way he brought it up.
Absolutely.
The
way he could have hooked up. They could have gone on a few dates, and then he could have, had happen to me.
Really?
Yes.
So you hooked up with this woman, and then she goes, "I have a kid?"
I dated a woman. We ended up dating. I ended up loving the kid more than I loved the woman I was dating. But eventually, the relationship was, I shouldn't say it like that, but the relationship was troubled. But I had such a strong bond with the kid that I think it extended the relationship. You know, mom and I had some problems. But, yeah, we went out.
That's the issue.
Yeah. And we went out. We probably went out 2 or 3 times. And it was like, you know, we really connected and had a nice time. And we're like, you know, spending nights at each other's places. And I'm such a naive Canadian. I went to her house and there were toys. And I was like, oh, you have toys. And she said, "I collect toys." And I was like, "Oh, a toy collector." See,
that's the thing. That's deceitful. Yeah, that person's like, "Yeah, I'm really into Marvel." Like, what? Like,
I collect toys and diapers and change tables. And so,
dude,
I believed her because I had just met someone coincidentally that did collect like vintage toys. Okay. Now, I didn't realize who's going to collect the most recent Fisher Price thing or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, but so we dated a few times, and then she came out and said, "Yeah, I have a child."
See, to me, that's very different than this situation. Like, right and wrong, I do, like, if I'm gonna give, you know, let's take him at his word. At his word, he's looking at profiles in the way men look at profiles. He's like, I never look to see if they have a kid. So why would they must not be looking at mine. And it's like, okay, fine. But that's a very, I don't think you're a very aware person. If you're thinking of profiles and, you know, in the way you think of them or whatever, I do think he thought, I'm not getting a lot of matches. Let me take this information out so I can have a conversation. But he is telling you before going on the date. I can see, I think the emailer, she needs to be empathetic of that position. And I think like the idea that you've been strung along before meeting, I think that's something that comes from disappointment from dating apps in general. And I think you're being hard on him. He did bring it up in a way that was like a little drop to be like, he gave you the opportunity. Now I could understand where she would say, but you put me in a position where I had to dump you and look like the bad guy. And that position, I would say, yeah, but that's called having a difficult conversation and being an adult. And he was very nice when you said it. He said, thanks for being honest. And it's like, so to me, there's no harm, no foul in how this happened here. But I think also it goes back to the addiction of dating apps. Like he's taking out having a kid in his dating app because he wants more matches. He wants the dopamine drip from getting a match. He wanted to be in the game. She is getting upset by it, or I'm not going to say, I don't think she's upset, but I think she's asking if it's wrong because she has been, you know, she's getting mad at dating apps in general and how, you know, you meet someone, you know, everyone on here doesn't talk. And then finally you talk to someone, you have a great conversation. Then you find out that they were a liar. And it's like, well, no, he put in the information when he needed to put it in.
Yeah.
And to me, if you had gone on a date, it would have been totally different. To find out on a date, that is deceitful.
Or to find out after a date.
Yeah, well, to find out while you're climbing over their toy closet on your way out after having sex, like that's a different story.
Yeah, yeah. And that'll be a scene in my biopic. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened, yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Phil Hanley, thank you for coming on. This is fantastic.
Dude, thank you. It's always so fun. I don't know. I've done it 3 or 4 times. It's always a blast.
Always great having you. Everyone go follow Phil at Phil M. Hanley on Instagram. November 16th, he's taping a special at the Comedy Cellar. Go get tickets right now. Get your reservations. November 19th through 20th, it's going to be in Austin at the Vulcan Gas Company. I'm Jared Freed. We're here every Monday with your emails, your stories, your questions. We'll be back next episode. Boom.